Anyway, okay, good evening, everybody. This is the Pacifica Audit Committee. I'm calling it to order at 8:36 p.m. on May 14th, 2018. This is our open session. Let's do the roll call.
I can do the roll call, Madam Chair.
Okay, that would be great, Adriana. Thank you, Adriana.
Thank you. Grace Adams, KPFK.
Here.
Marlene Bond, KPFK. Adriana Casney, KPFT present. Elaine Duncan, KPFT. Amy Gomez, KPFK. Julie Hewitt, WPFW.
Yes. Yep, here.
Ken Lawford, WBAA. Adrienne LaViolette, KPFT.
Here.
Thank you. Celine Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Thank you. Aileen Rosin, WPFW.
I'm here. I'm here.
James Segerton, WBAI.
Here.
Thank you. Carol Travis, KPFA. Carol Travis?
I believe she told me that she would not be able to make it tonight. She has a conflict with the strategic planning meeting, I think.
Maskila Washington, WPFW?
Here.
Thank you. Madam Chair, let's see.
And I think Marlena Bond said yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Marlena Bond said she'd be on later. She has to work until, I guess, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. But she'll get on after that. So we'll watch out for her. Okay. Selection of timekeepers. Who volunteers for this evening? And I think, again, we've been doing it where we just have one person kind of watching out that we stay more or less within our limits here. Do we have a volunteer for tonight? Do we have a volunteer timekeeper for tonight? Somebody has to volunteer. Have I been muted? Can you hear me? There's no answer.
I hear you.
Okay.
Apologize. I don't have any way to do it on the equipment I have.
Adira. Let's see. Sorry?
I said I'd gladly do it, but I have no way to do it.
Oh, okay. Was that Adrian? That was Adrian, right?
Yeah, it was Adrian.
Okay. Serene, would you be able to?
I'm driving, sorry.
Oh, okay. Maskila? Or Julie?
It's Julia. I can do it.
Thanks,
I'm sitting in my living room.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Okay. Great. Okay. So I guess, just try and keep an eye on the time and, you know, so we can wrap this up. I'm really exhausted, people, so because I was out at a demonstration today. So, I'm a little tired. Be nice to finish quickly. Let's move on. Approval of the agenda. I sent it out a little while ago. Anybody have changes or additions? Going, going, gone. Somebody moved to approve?
I did.
Okay, and no objections heard. The agenda is approved. Then we have the approval of the minutes of the open meeting from April 30th. Adriana, I sent you a couple of little changes. I don't know if you got them in time.
I just saw it, but
okay.
I will change those. I will put those changes that you already sent.
Okay.
I will correct the minutes with those tweaks. Yes.
Great. And those changes, people, were just in point 5.1. I'm not sure what I reported in last time, but the minutes said that I said we'd had 8 responses. I think I could only find 7, and 6 were in California, 1 was in D.C. That's, you know, minor change. And then later on, just on the dates of, I think it was under action items, it said, I'm sorry, I don't have it open right now. I don't have it open. Where do I? Yes, I do. Under action items, it said dateline for the 2016 audit is August 15th. That's not right. It's deadline for the 2017 audit is August 15th. I had no other changes. Anyone else? Okay, none heard. With those changes, the minutes are approved.
I move that we approve the minutes with the
thank you
changes proposed, with amendment proposed from the chair. Thank you.
Okay. Next point is just a little bit of updates on the audits. And regarding the fiscal year 2016 audit, if anybody else has any information, anybody perhaps from the PNB, please feel free to jump in. But I don't really have a lot to say except it's still moving along. I'm expecting an updated list of pending items from the auditor any minute. I think I sent it all out to you. I also sent it to Tom and Sam, and Tom and Sam and Nancy were getting together on all the loan documents and the ESRT, or the move from the Empire State Building documents. So those things are all in progress if they haven't been done by now. In case you don't know, Sam is staying on for a few weeks, again, to finish up these audits or this audit and to see the update of the accounting system, make sure that gets done. They're updating in case... I haven't told, well, I think I've mentioned it, but for those who might not have heard it, they're updating the old, I think, 10-year-old Great Plains program to its later incarnation, which is Microsoft Dynamics. And I hope it all goes smoothly, so we'll find out. Second point B, the retirement plan and the 403B audits. I spoke to the retirement plan auditor, the guy who's in charge of it. His name is Brad Guy, G-A-I, at RENA Auditors or RENA and Associates, something like that. I have to confess that I didn't quite grasp everything he told me because he threw a lot of information at me. But basically he expected to be finishing the audit of the 403B plan anytime now, maybe before the end of the month. That is the plan that where employees can put in an amount out of their own paycheck and Pacifica should match it. The amounts that employees put in have been remitted to wherever it is the money goes to invest it. I believe we still owe the matching funds for that. The retirement plan, as they call it, which is a 401A, I don't know what the difference between a 401A and a 401K is. I guess the K is what we've all heard of. But he said that's going to take more work still. They haven't, I don't think they've even finished 20, he said they hadn't started 2016. Not sure if they finished 2015. He said something about needing to go back and getting more information on the actual participants, who was eligible, what their choices were, what their investments, what they had chosen to invest in was. I did connect him with Tom, hoping that Tom would be able to, also get this information, and then maybe he and I can compare notes and figure it out. But I think the most important part is that it's not done yet, and it won't be done in time to have the actual numbers in the 2016 audit. So I guess we'll be going for estimates on that one again. I think he was happy to hear from somebody, from the audit committee. And we'll just, follow up with him as appropriate. Any questions there?
Serene with a question.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be kind of vague because I don't remember whether this came up in open or closed sessions during when I was on the P&B, but there was a significant increase in the number of people who qualified for the plan, and that was supposed to be, there was supposed to be some verification about those numbers in terms of the people who are actually eligible for any plan. And so there was supposed to be clarification about whether people were eligible for both retirement plans. My memory from the old days was that you either had a 401k or you had a 403b, and because we're not for profit, it was a 403b. This is my non-specific life. I actually had one. And I'm wondering if any of that has been clarified.
Well, what I understand is that the collective bargaining agreement includes or deals with the 401A. I'm not sure on how it works for the 403B, like if it's, maybe that's for management, since management is not going to be part of the collective bargaining agreement. That's the way I get it, but I don't think they're that it necessarily breaks down that strictly. I kind of ask, does that mean that people in the union are with the 401A and management is 403B, and somebody, don't remember if it was Brad or Sam.
I have some information.
No,
I would like
not
to.
Exactly. Okay.
This is Grace.
Grace, go ahead.
Okay. From what I understand, we have two redundant plans, and one of them should be eliminated. Of course, we're committed right now to both of them, and it would take some union negotiation to eliminate one. But the plans are redundant. One covers some all that the other covers, I believe. That would need to be verified, but that's what my understanding of the situation.
I'm not sure if that's true, because I got the 401A, I don't know, it doesn't have a matching component. I think that is for the 401A, Pacifica is simply supposed to pay in a given percentage of the employee's salary. I need to confirm. I thought it was 2. Brad said he thought it was 4, but I'm not sure. So I have to find that out. So I think they work differently. It was one of the big problems has been what happened in KPFK, where apparently the terms and the amounts and the percentages were changed by KPFK, and funds that were meant to go to the 401A accounts were channeled somehow to the 403B accounts, and it just bollocksed everything up. It made everything really confusing, and, you know, the union got unhappy, and there was arbitration. I'm not sure exactly what about, but that's what I'm hoping we can come to understand at some point. You know, there were lawyers involved and things like that. I'm sorry. Who was that?
Serene, when you're done.
Serene, go ahead. I think I'm done, actually.
Okay, so I can't send the motion now, although I expect to be able to do so before we're done with the meeting. But I would like to bring a motion because this is not the first time this question is being raised. Apparently, some ED at some point negotiated a contract that gave people 2 cents of benefits, extraordinarily generous, which is not a good thing when it's not your money. But
I'm sorry, who did it? An ED or a Pacifica executive director?
The EDs are the ones who negotiate the contract.
Okay.
With the staff. So. We don't have a single union. Berkeley and AFTRA is New York, and I think AFTRA is also LA. It's DC. Maybe somebody from DC can confirm that. And of course, T doesn't have a union because Texas is a union rights free state.
Okay.
So I don't think everyone is operating under the same contract. There needs to be, and I've asked for this previously, but there needs to be clarification about who is in what plan. And I don't mean who is in, we necessarily need a list.
I want to interrupt you for 1 minute. Whoever's got dishes clattering in the background, can you please mute? And somebody else is breathing into their mouthpiece, and it's distracting. Thank you. I'm sorry, Serene, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I'm going to mention in about the written version in about 15 minutes, but
that'll be great.
But we may be done with the meeting, so I want to bring it now, if I may. And the motion would be to ask the CFO person or whoever is handling such matters to provide a correct list, a verified list, right, which means somebody has to talk to the management of the stations, who knows which name is in which, you know, what position over the year. But to answer the list of candidates, and Sam may have already done this because I do specifically remember asking him about this in, I think it was October, but that we ensure that the auditors have a verified list of eligible workers or persons, because some may not be there anymore.
That is part of the problem that was mentioned. Uh-huh.
Right, and that... And that the contract that awarded or created the situation be provided to the PNB, the full contract, you know, under which particular issues arose, be provided to the PNB so that they can, in fact, provide some guidance, you know, about what needs to change. I mean, I think workers are great. Everyone is a worker somewhere and deserves what they deserve, but we need to know what we're doing here, too.
Yeah. Sure. I think part of what the auditors are doing is trying to get their lists verified and straightened out.
But we don't know that, and this contract was awarded 6 months ago. 7 months ago, I think. I heard it was, I think.
What, to the auditor?
Not be hearing items.
I'm sorry. Say that again, I didn't catch it.
Oh, I said I believe that these auditors were brought on for this job, this task, this project, in October. So it concerns me that it's been 7 months. And we're still
it might have been a little sooner, but they said that because of the delays in getting information, they thought they would wrap it up by, I think, the end of last year, but they haven't been able to get the information as quickly as they expected, and then they ran into their own tax time. And yeah.
But I'm saying.
Anyway.
That was an urgent problem factor to do it. 7 months later, no, I don't know, and I'm not clear. We need a report that says, this is what we've got. This is who gave us the information. This is the information we need. We need clarity about what we're paying for and what the debt is going to be in terms of having, you know, to catch
yes.
up.
Yes. Right. Well, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who is that?
No,
that
I'm,
is.
That's my essential time. I'll put this in
okay.
my shirt. Yeah,
that can definitely that can be helpful. Was somebody else on the stack there? I thought I heard somebody else was there. Okay.
It's Julie. I'm not on the stack, but I'm just pointing out that it's we're not good.
We're behind.
We're going to be if we don't move off of this subject soon.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, all right. So I think we're done with that then. I think we've done as much as we can do at the moment. We'll just do our best to get more information. I'll find out if Tom has been able to talk to the guy because I know he wanted to. So we'll see if there are updates there. Okay.
I'm sorry, Julie. Eileen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I am going to be working on the motion. I do intend to bring it back to this body because I think we need to have something formal.
Yes, when you're ready, you know, we'll get back to it towards the end of the meeting. Okay, updates on audit firms. According to what we decided at our last meeting, we looked for some firms around the country, not necessarily in Northern California, to add to our list. So I sent out, I sent out RFPs to a whole bunch more. I'm looking for my list. Where'd it go? Here it is. We have heard that, I guess we sent them out to a total of about 20 or 21. We've heard back from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One of them just asked for more information, and I haven't heard anything again. But I think 6 of them, I think, may well, send us proposals. I think it's a pretty good group. Couple are in the D.C. area. Two are in Northern California. No, three. Yeah, three are in Northern California, and one is kind of East Coast. They're New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, Florida. Some of them sound like they really want the work, which is kind of, it's nice to talk to people when they, want to work with you. So I think, we'll get an interesting range of proposals to choose from. Some of those I found, Carol Travis sent a suggestion. There's a suggestion from Grace and one from, chart is a little too wide. Grace sent one that we looked at. and Serene sent one. So thank you for, you know, contributing some of these other names. You know, they're all of them have an emphasis on nonprofits. Some of them are very big. Some of them are at least bigger than Regalia. So we'll see what happens. That's all I've got on that so far. And, you know, I sent you guys all, I sent everybody a link to be able to get to the Google Doc and look at the list if you're interested. And I added a tab with a little log of who I've spoken to. So that's what I got for you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Can we'll move on then. And this is the trickiest part of our meeting, how to select the audit firm. Because theoretically they'll all be due by this Friday, although I have a couple of things to bring up in our closed session. But we need to figure out how we're going to grade them and figure out our tasks, the steps, and who's going to do what. No doubt we could find online a good way to evaluate them. Somebody, was it Serene maybe, who said we should ask how they did it last year. I don't know, but it didn't, you know, I'm not sure if that's the best model to follow for anything. Does anybody have some suggestions there?
Yes, this is Grace.
Go ahead.
I think that the audit committee, the last time we chose an auditor, a new auditor, was 2016, I guess.
No, it was last year because I was there, and I've only been on this committee for a year.
Hey, Diana?
Okay, so at the beginning of 2017, but this auditor, Regalia and Associates, is doing 2 years worth of audits. Okay.
Correct.
So I think we all got the responses, and then we crafted questions to ask the audit firms. I think we could probably use those same questions. To any finalists, I believe, maybe you recall, but we discussed each firm and their responses in the audit committee itself in closed session, and we came up with finalists, and then I believe we took a vote.
Julie, to the stack.
Okay, I think we had Adriana first, and then Julie. Go ahead, Adriana. Adriana?
Sorry, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, now I can.
Yes. No, the problem was that I was dropped twice. That's why I need to change phone. That's the only thing that I was saying. I'm sorry. That was all.
Oh, okay. Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was around last year whenever it was exactly that we last selected the auditors, and I think Grace's recollection is correct. I will point out that I'm pretty sure that the questions that that were follow-up questions the last time were actually things that we put in the RFP this time around. So, in effect, I feel like we've asked way more thorough set of questions, and so we may not need to have the same sort of follow-up. I think if they respond to the RFP carefully and address the questions, we may not have the same level of need to follow up. My recollection was that the last time, you know, we just had, as a committee, too many questions about the materials that the different firms submitted, and it was very difficult for us to compare from one to another because there was a question about each and every one of them. And so that's when we came up with that list of questions. And so if the firms go through and really carefully address the questions that we put in the RFP, I think what's going to happen is it's going to stack out very nicely in terms of the firms that really are serious about the work will have done a careful job putting a bid together, you know, and we won't have tons of follow-up questions for them. And it's possible that other firms will say, oh, we need more work, and but, you know, kind of sort of vaguely phone it in terms of putting their bid together, and that we'll be able to judge those, and that maybe it will be easier this time around. I don't know, but I do recall Grace's similar recollection that, you know, we kind of got it down to a list of, you know, sort of finalists, which was a pretty small number, and then we were able to, as a committee, vote on that. So that part's my recollection. So I don't know. I offer that thought that maybe we'll get better proposals this time around.
Yeah. I think last year, I seem to remember, did we make a little matrix, you know, kind of sheet with a, you know, this firm offered to do this for this much money, that firm said this much money, things like that? Or am I making that up in my head? Well, we could make one. It wouldn't be hard anyway.
I don't recall a matrix. I remember that there was a lot of discussion of, you know, it came down to a couple key factors, one of which was price, one of which was timing, because, of course, we were very concerned with getting the 2015 audit done.
Yes.
By date certain, and so that was something that factored in with a lot of the firms, as I recall. So it was a pretty simple matrix, as my recollection went. I don't know. Does that make sense to you, Grace?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah, it would just be nice to be able to, you know, have a form or something for each where we can enter the info. Yeah, I guess we can look through the RFP and kind of chop it up and turn it into a form that we can evaluate. Okay, I can do that. I'll do that. Let me just make a note.
I mean, that's certainly, this is Julie again, that certainly would be one way to figure out, you know, just how closely firms' bids, you know, match the RFP in terms of, did they answer this question for us?
Right, right. Okay. I think, you know, as a little bit of a lesson learned, we might also want to go back and get the info on the firm size, and oh god, I have a literal cat fight going on with myself. Get out of there. Sorry. Because I think that was one of the problems. You know, sometimes auditors just get jammed. You know, there's just not enough people. So, you know, we might also want to include that kind. Did we ask them for that information? We may have in the RFP. All right. Anyway, I'll try and work up a form, and we can, I don't know, adjust it if we need to and use it maybe next week. I should tell you, I just realized that I did not mention something fairly, somewhat important. Of all the firms that we've heard back from, the ones that are showing some interest, I've had conversations with them. So I have something of an idea of what each of them sounds like, at least, you know, and how interested they are. Basically, some are interested and, you know, they show it. We could talk about that a little more later. Okay, where's my agenda? Not it. All right, guys, see right there? Here we are. Okay, I guess we'll just leave that like that. So what do you all think? So I know that, you know, we need to make our selection, and then we need to send it to the PNB. I see that, you know, Serene had sent around a motion about dates and when we could send it to the PNB, owing that May 28th, the Monday, 2 weeks from tonight, is a holiday. It's Memorial Day, so we probably wouldn't want to meet that night. We have set a closed session for a week from tonight to discuss the proposals we've received. I have two concerns about that, and one of them is if people are sending in their proposals on Friday, are we all really going to have had the time to have looked through the proposals, all four or six that we receive, by Monday evening? So I think we will be able to get through at least some of it, but I'm not convinced we will finish the process a week from tonight. That's my main concern. So I think Serene's idea of asking the PNB to meet just a few days later to discuss our recommendation, I'm not sure that's really possible. I mean, I'm not sure we'll really have our firm recommendation by a week from tonight. Does anyone have any comments on that? So I think we should revisit the timeline a little bit.
So, this is Serene.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm now stopped and working on that other motion. I had forgotten I sent you all that motion. Last week. Can we put it on the agenda and actually then discuss the timeline? Because the PNB's regular meeting is the first Thursday of every month. Other than that, they would need to call a special meeting, get to it for that. So I do want to look at the timeline and then give them plenty notice.
Yeah, let's put the timeline on. I think the timeline is part of this point.
It was in the motion, but I can't access it and type the new motion.
I can read it. Should I read the motion?
Please.
Yes. Okay. So Serene sent this motion. I cut and pasted it into here. I'm not sure if I grabbed the whole thing, but whereas Monday, May 28th, 2018 will be observed in the U.S. as Memorial Day and may result in poor attendance at, I guess, the Audit Committee meeting, moves that the Audit Committee shall meet on May 21st to review proposals for fiscal year 17 audit work and prepare formal recommendations to the PNB. And further, in anticipation of this, we request that the PNB plan to meet on Thursday, May 24th, instead of waiting until its regular monthly meeting in closed session for discussion and then in open session regarding the committee's recommendations. And further, any PNB director and the interim executive director are welcome to attend the audit committee meetings on May 21st, where the terms of their participation may be limited by the committee to listening. In this regard, a single rule shall apply to all directors who are not committee members. We've already set up...
Eileen?
Yes?
Eileen, can you please read the last sentence again?
Just the sentence? In this regard, a single rule shall apply to all directors who are not audit committee members. Is that the one?
Yes. Single rule, what does that mean?
I think what she means is, will they have voice or are they only to be allowed to listen? Is that what you meant, Serene?
Okay, so when, committees used to be open to any committee used to be open to any director to at least observe. This is whether it was the one-person rule or the two-director rule, but a director is supposed to have access to everything and used to be able to attend any meeting. That has not been the case when a certain majority is in charge.
So I'm saying, though, that if we want people to be informed when they vote on the PND, if we want them to be informed about the audit and the questions and the auditor's report, et cetera, it would be good to include them in all the discussions that we have. And therefore, the motion says any PND director is invited to, you know, the audit committee meeting where we're discussing how we select the auditor, et cetera. And additionally, that committees used to have a rule. Some committees were very open and, you know, people could talk and ask questions and participate. They could do anything but vote. Guests could do anything but vote. And other committees had a rule where you could listen but not talk or or whatever, you know. But all I'm saying is that whatever the rule is for any guest directors will be the same for all guests directors. So we're not going to operate with a different standard where one guest gets to talk and another guest doesn't.
Fair enough.
That's the single rule.
Okay. I think before that I was trying to say that we've already set up a two-hour closed session for a week from tonight, just so you know. Let's just if you can grab a calendar, everybody, and let's look at those dates again. If we meet on the 21st and don't finish our work, and we can't meet on the 28th because it's a holiday, when could we meet, or when should we meet to finish our work? Do we have time later that week, you know, the Wednesday or Thursday, or at least some of us? I'm not sure. It's so hard since everybody's, you know, so busy and on so many committees. Does anybody have a suggestion for what to do?
This is Julie. It does seem that if the proposals are only due on the 18th, that meeting on the 21st, I mean, I'm all in favor of let's not delay our work here, but the 21st seems like pretty fast turnaround. And it would be good if we, to my way of thinking, if we could meet, you know, at least a couple of days later, like Wednesday or Thursday of that week, just from the standpoint that gives us a little bit more time to review the proposals, and we're going to have a much more productive meeting in terms of selecting an auditor if everybody really has had a chance to look at the proposals. If some people have looked at them and or only a small number of people have looked at them and a lot of people haven't and they're trying to look at them on the fly as we meet, it's just not going to go so well. I mean, it's going to be hard to make a decision. So,
okay, yeah, would agree with that, but I'm sorry, go on.
I was also going to say, when was the PNB meeting that, I'm sorry.
Serene was mentioning their formal meeting, which I think is the first Thursday of every month, but they seem to be meeting pretty much every Thursday these days. So it might not be too much of a stretch. You know, to ask them to meet the 25th. Or, what's the following one? The following would be the 31st. Oh, I guess that was the 24th. Sorry. Yeah, the 24th would be that. Well, if we want to meet the 23rd or 24th to look at all the proposals and discuss them all, then we would ask them to meet on the 31st. I think that's the way that would work. First, let's see if people on this committee have any conflicts for the 23rd and the 24th. Is there anybody who could not make a meeting on one of those days or both?
Eileen, do we have a personnel committee meeting on the 23rd?
Do you mean the MAFS committee?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think we have two. I'm just not sure. I'll check on that and get back.
Let me look. I'll go look at the calendar. KP. How is it? What is it? KP. There it is. Okay. Calendar. Anybody else have a conflict? Would everybody else be able to make it either of those days? I don't see any meetings up there, of course. You wouldn't have had to have posted a MASC meeting yet. I think the MASC meeting, isn't it on the, is it on the fourth Wednesday or the final Wednesday?
Usually, yes, but we put in a couple of additional meetings, that's all.
Yeah. I don't see them up here on the calendar. So I'm not sure about that. But they're always on Wednesdays, right? So what if we have our meeting, the audit committee meeting on the 24th? Then we're delaying things a bit. Yeah.
This is Grace. I think there are plans to have a PNB meeting on the 24th, I believe. So I don't think we should have one on the 24th.
Oh, because some of you would have to be in the PNB meeting.
Yes, yes. Should not be on the 24th.
Okay. I would, Maskila, I could probably sit out the MASC meeting, MASC committee meeting, if needed, and, do an audit committee meeting instead. So I'd hate for that one thing to get in the way of us doing our work. So I'd like to propose that we move the two-hour closed session from the 21st to the 23rd. Any objections? Hearing
none. Second.
Great. Okay, Madam Secretary, will you be able to make that change on the calendar?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, I think that'll be great. Just those 2 days will be, that'll make a huge difference, really. Because I don't want to spend all weekend reading proposals either, Okay. Okay, I think we are actually through point C. C, six. Anything else there? Or can we move to point seven, which is action items? We have, Serene's two motions that we can perhaps get back to. Serene, do you have those ready for us to hear again?
I think it's one motion. Did I say two?
There were two, right? You had the one.
Well, we just dealt with that.
You had the one about the retirement plans, and okay.
And then the older one, we just discussed and changed our meeting date from the
21st. That's true. Okay, where'd it go? So, all right. So let's change that to May 23rd. I wonder if we will get enough done on the 23rd to be able to send our recommendation to the PNB for their meeting the next day. Is that too optimistic?
Yes, I think so. I think that, Ileana?
Yes, go ahead, Audrey. No.
Yeah, I think that the best would be, our recommendation could be for the next PNB meeting, because if we have a meeting the next, the 24th, that meeting will be with some emergencies. That will be an official meeting. We cannot have this. I think that will be the next regular meeting. That is the first Thursday of June.
Okay. Meanwhile, should I send out an invitation to the PNB that they're welcome to listen in, or let's talk about if we want to invite them and what we want to allow them, you know, to listen or speak as well. I heard somebody make a noise. Who was that? James? Hello? Nobody? Maybe it was background noise. So what do you guys think? Should we let them participate actively or just to ask questions or to not even speak at all?
I don't think that we should allow people to speak at all. Maybe they can send emails and we might want to take up emails, but otherwise, if 10 extra people join the meeting, it can be untenable.
I
think
chaotic.
This audit committee needs to do its own work.
Okay. What about if they have questions, they could send them, and we can decide. One second, Serene. I'm thinking that we should ask them to send all the questions to a single person so that person can organize them as we go along and decide when we want to answer them. Serene?
Okay, so I guess we're back to the motion that I saw just resolved.
Okay.
There's no such thing as too much information for the people who are actually legally responsible for the decisions that that are made in this organization. I doubt very much that 10 people will desire to join us on that particular night or on any given night. But I will point out that there are 22 people on the PNB, and there are, what, maybe 10 of us, so that even if 10 people from the PNB join the call, we would still be under the PNB general number. And, you know, I don't understand this thing about hoarding information. Obviously, if it's an open... the open portion, they can listen to the stream. But with a closed session, they don't have access to the stream. And that's where the real discussion is going to be held.
Right.
So why on earth we would, you know, want to block some of them? And, you know, the knowledge is information is really...
Well, I think...
Information.
Eileen, can I clarify, please?
Hang on, Grace. Let Serene finish. Go on, Serene.
You know, there are 5 members of the PNB on this call. There are 22 members of the PNB. If someone who has not been assigned to this committee wants to take their personal time to get on a call and learn more and ask questions, I welcome that kind of initiative. I don't resent it, and I wouldn't attempt to block it. And it's frustrating to me to see people throwing up roadblocks in the way of other people getting information.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay, I think that it's fine to have as many PNB members as want to listen in to a closed session if they care to. However, if one person, let's say I decide that I like a particular audit firm and it's really important to me to have that firm hired, and so I recruit 3 of my friends to be on the call and steer the conversation in that direction. That can happen. I think it's better if this committee was democratically elected across the network. It's diverse. I think that the decision making in the audit committee should be by the audit committee, and it shouldn't be overly influenced. Even though that may not happen, it's still a possibility. And also, having too many people on any meeting can make the meeting itself unwieldy if people are going to ask questions, especially if some of them want to be brought up to speed. It can make our process really lengthy and the meeting lengthy and unwieldy. So I think that, yes, of course, P&B directors can listen as much as they want, and possibly we want may want to make a concession that they can email questions. But I don't think that they should have speaking rights.
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, I believe that we will be breaking the corporation, the California Corporation Code, if we don't allow directors to be in executive session to listen at least. I mean, that happened last year. I couldn't get into any of the executive sessions. But I think that will be a good thing to have directors that are interested really to be in the meeting and listen. But I believe, too, that they should, the priorities for the committee members to make the decisions and the questions. And maybe it's a good idea to if they are interested and they are in the meeting and they want to send questions in writing, they can do it. Or after speaking, after if no committee members want to keep speaking about the issue. I believe that it's true. Could be a problem if we need to bring people to speed, you know, in what the committee is doing. But I believe that absolutely it's a right of directors to be in those calls, even if they don't participate actively in the discussions, right?
Yes, that sounds about right to me. I think that if only one or two additional people show up, which is probably, I don't know, who knows? If only one or two show up, we can probably allow them to ask their questions by voice at the appropriate time, and we would set rules for that. I think we can set rules for that. If there's any more than a couple, yeah, we might want them to submit them by email to somebody. And they can submit comments as well, but I think it would be getting kind of chaotic to have their another kind of participation other than becoming informed. If they wanted to have other participation, they should be on this committee, I guess. That's just trying to think about us actually getting through the work while including people. That's the way I see it. And I guess we can determine at the time, depending on who shows up, how many people show up. Should we ask them to sort of RSVP? I guess I could do that.
They'll need a call-in code.
That was what I was about to ask. So, okay. So let's see how many people respond, and we can set the ground rules maybe at the very beginning of the meeting.
This is Grace.
Go ahead.
May I be
right? Go ahead, Grace.
I think we should make the parameters now. As we have seen in other meetings in the past, one person is completely capable of asking 50 questions in an hour span of time. So the number of people, I think we should set the parameters now for how the meeting should be run. Because, okay?
Go ahead.
Has Serene sent her motion in writing? I haven't seen it.
This is Maskila. Can I say something to this?
Please do, Maskila.
Eileen, I like your suggestion, and I also understand where Grace is coming from. I'm not a member of the Strategic Planning Committee, but I did replace Tony Leon when he could not make a meeting. And even though they did not expect me at that meeting, they allowed me to speak, I could not vote. So just in terms of being open, you know, I think that we shouldn't be too strict, knowing that this is a public station, progressive stations, and we don't want to become too fascist-oriented. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Yeah.